You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I came here, wasn't feeling so well. I feel much better now. We're working hard to get me all the way back. I have to be back because we still have to make America great again. We've done an awfully good job of that, but we still have steps to go and we have to finish that job. And I'll be back. I think I'll be back soon.
That was President Trump Saturday. This is October the 5th, 2020. And reports are coming out that he may well be released sometime today. May come out today at some point. Could be during this program, probably later today, if it happens today. And I say if, because we don't know for sure that it would. In the meantime, we're getting White House Press Secretary Kayla McKinney is giving word that she has tested positive for coronavirus. And she's one of the latest. Now, she is, of course, positive. Senior Advisor Hope Hicks was one of the ones first identified as positive. And the Director of Oval Office Operations, Nick Luna. The Trump Campaign Manager, Bill Stapien, also testing positive. Former Counselor to the President, Kellyanne Conway, testing positive. And former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, who participated in debate prep with the President. He was admitted over the weekend. They're not telling any additional names. Don't give any of all the rest of the names. They said, we don't want to violate the privacy of many here at the White House that you wouldn't know anyway, so we're just not going to. So we don't know how many are testing positive or what the conditions are, but apparently nothing over the top, because if it were, believe me, the media would be letting you know. You're going to hear more from President Trump over the next 2 hours. And about the cocktail of drugs he's receiving. Now, President Trump is praising the treatment, saying they're basically, they're a miracle. They're a miracle from God, he's saying. But leave it to the mainstream media, such as, CNN, NNN, finding a way to scare you, fear-mongering about what these drugs would do to the president. No, I'm not talking about his health. His mental stability. Are you going to buy their stories? Admittedly, apparently no one in the world that we know of is taking all three of these drugs at one time. And they are, for the most part, still experimental in many ways. And no one apparently has any information on how they all work together on someone. So I'm going to admit there's some questions we don't know, But CNN and NNN is not going to give you a chance to make up your own mind. It's going to start pushing, promoting the fact that the guy's losing it. He's losing it. And you know how and what they're going to? Because earlier today, he put out a tweet in all caps, an early morning tweet, all caps, Space Force vote. And they're saying, see, who's he talking about? What's that all about? And Joe Biden, by the way, is going into Florida for a second time while Trump is laid up. Biden is suddenly rushing out. How many more appearances can I make since he's locked up? Now, also, Trump did a motorcade the other day, and CNN jumping in on that. They found, they say, some Secret Service agents upset that the president left and went around in a motorcade. No one got in contact with him other than Secret Service agents. They were there anyway on him. And again, Pelosi, who prayed for him the other day, we were told, now she's condemning him for this brazen behavior. Now, in the midst of all of this, what does this do to the upcoming and existing campaign and the next presidential debate? That's October the 15th in Miami. The last debate will be October 22nd in Nashville. We have a VP debate coming up later this week, Wednesday, October the 7th. What does it do to all that? What does it do to the SCOTUS nomination to get Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court? We're going to get into all of that over the next 2 hours. And also, I want to spend more time on Crossfire Hurricane information, all this damning information, the letter that was released the other day that basically the media is looking away from. And as long as they can concentrate on Trump and his health, they will ignore it. We're not going to. We're going to put it right in front of you, let you know exactly what was going on according to this information that delivered the other day to the Senate Investigative Committee, and the mainstream media has ignored it, and yet it's being called a bombshell. Very explosive. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can run on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I had no choice because I just didn't want to stay in the White House. I was given that alternative. Stay in the White House, lock yourself in, don't ever leave, don't even go to the Oval Office. Just stay upstairs and enjoy it. Don't see people, don't talk to people, and just be done with it. And I can't do that. I had to be out front. And this is America. This is the United States. This is the greatest country in the world. This is the most powerful country in the world. I can't be locked up in a room upstairs and totally safe and just say, hey, whatever happens, happens. I can't do that. We have to confront problems. As a leader, you have to confront problems. There's never been a great leader that would have done that.
President Trump explaining why he went to Walter Reed. He said, I could have stayed. That's his words again. I could have stayed at the White House and been treated just fine there. And doctors were saying that, and many doctors watching it who do not have direct contact with the president, nor his medical records, were speculating that, you know, this is an indication this is really severe, that they moved into Walter Reed. The White House position was it's out of an overabundance of caution. Because we know he wants to keep working. He really shouldn't stay at the White House. He should go into Walter Reed. And he said, I had the option. I could have stayed locked up in the residence and just not done anything. But I can't do that. Now, what happens, of course, when the president is ill, a president is ill. For the most part, the nation comes together and all bickering and partisan stuff is put aside. We got that impression the other day from Nancy Pelosi when she's saying, I'm praying for the president, and even some of the far left people like Rachel Maddow saying, if you pray, you should pray for the president. We wish him well. Stephen Colbert on his show the other night said, I'm not going to make fun of him or anything, just, it's a serious thing. We wish him well. And then on the other side, you got those who just really were tweeting out, I hope he dies. I mean, they were really direct and nasty about it. The president decided the other day, as he was hearing some of these complaints and issues come in, there was a gathering outside Walter Reed Medical Center. So he got in an SUV, drove past them, of course wearing a mask, inside with the Secret Service agents, waving to supporters as he drove past them, just kind of thanking them for being there. We'll come back a little bit later talking about how he wanted to reach out and help them and what else is going on. But the White House Chief of Staff is now saying, we are very optimistic he will return to the White House today, sometime today. And he's ready to get back to a, quote, normal working schedule. In fact, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said, spoke to the president this morning. He continued to improve overnight. He is ready to get back to a normal working schedule. That we will be meeting, or the president will be meeting, with his doctors and nurses this morning to make further assessments. But we are optimistic that he will be able to return later today, at the earliest Monday afternoon, sometime this afternoon. And Mark Meadows pointing out his treatment's been remarkable, his strength incredible, and he's doing just great. Well, President Trump the other day, Saturday, when he appeared on video and delivering a message to the nation, and parts of it were used here and there throughout, I don't know if you saw the whole thing. Well, I wanted to share some of it with you in case, because of the weekend, a lot of folks might have gotten out of touch a little bit. He was admitting that once it was diagnosed, then steps had to be taken. There's no denying.
This was something that happened, and it's happened to millions of people all over the world, and I'm fighting for them, not just in the U.S. I'm fighting for them all over the world. We're going to beat this coronavirus, or whatever you want to call it, and we're going to beat it soundly.
And at the same time, you've got others who are rushing forward to blame him, saying he brought it on himself because of his lack of interest in pushing the mask policy. I know some folks who were telling me over the weekend they've worn masks constantly, and they ended up coming down with COVID. And I know some who've not been wearing masks, and they're just fine. And they're mixing in with crowds, and they're not keeping a social distance. They're good about washing their hands and so forth. And if someone appears to be sick, well, they don't get right on top of them, obviously. And do not forget that in the beginning, Dr. Fauci said, the mask, I don't think they're really doing good. I don't think you need them. We still don't know. We do not know at this point even if when he made those statements, he alluded to this later, but at the time he made them, was he doing it so there would not be a rush on masks, so whatever was available, they could get to the healthcare workers, which certainly needed them. And then later coming back saying you need to, and you should wear a mask all the time, and if you're in close proximity. And then many of you have seen the picture of Dr. Fauci in the baseball stands, one of the games before they put everything down, stop everything, sitting up there with the mask off, talking to someone on either side of him. And then the CDC coming out recently and saying, now the masks really aren't going to do that much good overall, generally speaking, unless it's a highly professional mask intended for healthcare professionals. Most of the ones we're getting and using, nah, not that much good. It's somewhat of a barrier, be it cloth or the others that are being manufactured and presented, or even the face shields. The face shields might add one other level of protection, they say, because now they're concerned that the virus could enter through the membranes of your eye. Again, over the weekend, I had several people ask me, when do you think we're going to be through this? When are we going to be in with it? Now, my response is, at this point, and I certainly am not a health professional, but my response basically is, I think it's going to be with us probably forever to some extent, mutating in one way or another. We'll come up with a vaccine at some point that will help, maybe. But it's like every year there's a new flu vaccine, is there not? Every year they come up with another flu vaccine, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the one they prepared it for no longer exists. It's gone to something else. In the beginning, we just didn't know. And part of it goes back to the lack of information, transparency, facts we were given from China. And more importantly, the lies China was saying and the World Health Organization was helping promote for them. Saying it's not a big deal, don't worry about it. And yet when you looked at how Beijing, the capital of China, shut down all flights from Wuhan into China, into Beijing, that should have told you something. They didn't want anybody from Wuhan into Beijing. So we'll wait to see if the president later today will have a chance to actually leave. As I mentioned a moment ago, they drive around the other day, Walter Reed in the SUV, waving to the crowds that had gathered out there for him. He said, I just wanted to show them I appreciate it. And while he was doing that, of course, we've had a caravan of 100 or more vehicles shutting down Fifth Avenue in New York City in the response for President Trump. Long line of trucks, cars, motorcycles coming from Long Island, bringing traffic to a halt for at least 30 minutes. They arrived outside Trump Tower, cheering for him, shouting 4 more years again, another show of support for the president. Totally peaceful. Nobody burning, looting, setting anything on fire, just shouting, USA, USA. Police were certainly there in numerous numbers, but all peaceful. And they did the same thing Saturday at the Oklahoma State Capitol, doing the same thing. And also Saturday, thousands at Staten Island, New York, did the same thing. And as I mentioned, the rally outside Walter Reed also included a prayer vigil at one point. President Trump has taken note of this. He's taken note of it, and he's very thankful.
I just want to tell you that I'm starting to feel good. You don't know over the next period of a few days. I guess that's the real test. So we'll be seeing what happens over those next couple of days. I just want to be so thankful for all of the support I've seen, whether it's on television or reading about it. I most of all appreciate what's been said by the American people, by almost a bipartisan consensus of American people. It's a beautiful thing to see. And I very much appreciate it, and I won't forget it.
No, he won't forget it, and it is appreciated. Now, as far as the treatments he's getting, as I said, it's a cocktail of drugs, a variety of drugs. Some have been used here and there, sometimes in combination of a couple of them. A third one they're now throwing into the mix that apparently no one in the world has ever been on all three at one time, and so we don't really have any documentation on how that would go. And as I said, you got the mainstream media trying to say, watch out, watch, this is going to make him delusional, he'll be psychotic. I'm going to get into that in more detail the second hour, but I want to make sure you're aware that that's some of the stuff that's going around. Here's what President Trump has to say about the drugs and how he's been reacting to them.
Look at the therapeutics, which I'm taking right now, some of them, and others are coming out soon that are looking like frankly, they're miracles, if you want to know the truth. They're miracles. People criticize me when I say that. But we have things happening that look like they're miracles coming down from God.
One of the doctors commenting on this combination of drugs, Dr. Nicole Safier, appearing on Fox News, and in describing the various drugs and how they're doing, she admits that, you know, that right now they're doing anything and everything they can to help the president, which you would expect. But hear her comments.
They're doing everything they can to get the president back to good again, which, as you can see by his videos, he does seem to be doing well. He's walking around on room air. They're reporting he's not short of breath. You know, he does seem to be doing okay right now. That being said, he's not out of the woods. You know, we still like to see from day five to nine from symptom onset, you still can get better, you can get worse. Everyone's a little bit different, so they're going to continue watching him.
And that is a good idea. It's a good idea for you and your family. If someone is sick and down with this, you got to kind of keep an eye on them. even if they've been treated for COVID, they're sent home and everything's good, and suddenly they begin having some symptoms, then it's worth revisiting the hospital, the doctor, and find out exactly what's going on. But I mentioned earlier that the mainstream media is trying to say this cocktail of drugs is going to make him psychotic. And they're judging, you know what, suddenly they thought this is our proof, because early this morning, the president began tweeting out numerous tweets, 17 different tweets over 50-plus minutes, which included phrases in all caps. That's the other thing mainstream media is saying. He did it in all caps. I used to write all caps on that kind of stuff because I just did. That's the way you're in the business. We've always done it, but everybody said, quit shouting. I didn't think I was shouting, but when I put it all caps, it is. So the president was tweeting out all caps, law and order, vote, religious liberty, vote, Space Force, vote. And they're saying, see, look at this. And they're in all caps, viewed as screaming in online etiquette. He's psychotic. As I said, we'll get more into that in the next hour and a little bit more detail about the drugs and how they're being used. Nancy Pelosi, who the other day, Friday, said, we want to pray for the president. I pray for the president, first lady, and all the time anyway, every day. Well, over the weekend, she watched him do the drive around Walter Reed, and she lost it. That coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
My love is. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be enough. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're worth deep in love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
This is tragic. It's very sad. But it also is something that, again, going into crowds, unmasked and all the rest, was sort of a brazen invitation for something like this to happen.
So there you have it, Nancy Pelosi, who the other day was saying, I'm praying for the president. When the word was first announced, he had COVID and had been taken to Walter Reed. Shifted back into campaign mode over the weekend. Saying he brought it on himself. He did it. And anyone else who's suffering is because you're following Trump. And, of course, Nancy Pelosi still will not bring the full House into session. She thinks it's just too fearful. The Senate's been there, and yes, we've got some senators who've come down sick. Now, the announcement apparently the other day when the president originally announced Amy Coney Barrett, that would have been a week ago this last Saturday. Senior administration officials are saying the outbreak probably began during that Supreme Court announcement because that's when a lot of them were all together, and, of course, Republican senators. And we're going to get into it in the next segment as to where we go now with the campaign, the nomination for the Supreme Court justice, and what's going to be happening behind the scenes and up front for you to see, reference the battle for the White House this time around. But Nancy Pelosi deciding, I just can't be that polite anymore, and so she moved quickly into the campaign mode. I'm not criticizing her. Trump was going to be back in campaign mode as well. So I'm not going to jump on Nancy, so don't be calling her names or anything. But I will tell you this. Congressman McCarthy of California, of course, Nancy is also of California. Congressman McCarthy, Republican of California, the minority leader in the House, where Nancy is the majority leader, he didn't like at all what she did.
This is uncalled for, especially in this time and place. And remember, other nations are watching America. this is the one time that we could unite together. I listened in the president's voice, none of those type of languages to anybody across. The one thing I did hear more of, that how committed he's even doubling down to make sure that he lowers prescription drug prices, that he protects pre-existing conditions. And he is sitting here trying to work with this speaker to get a COVID relief package together, and these are the comments that she makes. It's really unbecoming of that position.
Which, by the way, and the CNN opinion piece is asking a question that, did Trump try to cover up his infection? See, they're going to do everything they can to put fear into everyone that it's much worse than what we're being told. In the meantime, the Supreme Court did begin its new term. Oh, I know Joe Biden told you that we don't need to elect the judge now because they don't meet for any time soon. He did not know, I guess, that the calendar calls for in October they return and start looking over cases. And in fact, in one of the first ones, you'll want to know what Justice Thomas and Alito are saying about a decision that cleared the way for same-sex marriage. And, of course, Judge Barrett is not on the court yet, but she might share their opinion. We'll take a break. We'll come back with that and also look and see where we go from here while the president's still, quote, recovering.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All right, so as I was discussing, the Supreme Court is in session, and we've already gotten a response on a at an opinion. Let me clarify this. This is not the legal ruling, but basically the remarks and the questions of a couple of the conservative justices regarding same-sex marriage. There's a Supreme Court 2015 decision, of course, that cleared the way for same-sex marriage nationwide. Now, here we are on the first day of the court's new term. And critics of that opinion 5 years ago, that was penned by now-retired Justice Anthony Kennedy, are still upset with the reasoning of it. They believe the court should have left that decision to the political arena, have long said it infringes upon the rights of those who have religious objections to same-sex marriage. And, of course, supporters of LGBTQ rights are fearful the court now is ready to continue a trend from the last term, ruling in favor of religious conservatives in key cases. This is the way CNN is posing it in one of their articles. The decision, Obergefell versus Hodges, quote, enables courts and governments, this is the way Thomas wrote about it, Justice Thomas today in lashing out, enables courts and governments to brand religious adherents who believe that marriage is between one man and one woman as bigots, making their religious liberty concerns that much easier to dismiss. And so he's already making it clear that that case is going to have to be revisited. And he was urging his colleagues to revisit, quote, the religious liberty implications of that landmark opinion down the road. He warned today that the court chose, quote, to privilege a novel constitutional right over religious liberty interest explicitly protected in the First Amendment. And by doing so, undemocratically, the court created a problem that only it can fix. He did note that he agrees with the decision to not take up the case, writing, quote, it did not cleanly present important questions raised in that decision. But that's one of the first cases I had up in front of them, and Apparently, they're not going to take it up at this point. But that issue is going to come back around. And, of course, if they revisit it and they have a test case or a case that they think does deserve the Supreme Court to vote again, take a look at it, Judge Barrett on the court could certainly make a difference in the ruling the next time around. So we have, of course, the effort to confirm Justice Barrett. The last word we have from Mitch McConnell is that, no, we're going to start. We're going to start her process on October 12th. I mentioned earlier that some of those around the White House are saying they believe that the infection of the president and several senators all seem to be tied to the fact that they were all together for the Supreme Court nomination announcement. And at last check, Judge Barrett has previously had the virus back in early summer and seems to be doing fine. And the Supreme Court will begin its committee hearings, according to Senate Leader, coming up October 12th. That'll be on Columbus Day. And by the 22nd, he said we should be done and ready to send it to the full Senate for a vote. And we already know, I mean, at this point, unless something dramatically changes, it's going to go through. The Republicans control the Senate. Not every Republican's on board, but one of the ones we weren't sure about, Mitt Romney, says he's on board now, going ahead and moving forward. Senator Murkowski, who had been wavering and still says, well, I need to see the who's named. Well, now she knows who's named, and she has not said or done anything to dismiss this nomination. Susan Collins of Maine, a Republican, she might well decide to go with the Democrats. So we'll see if it follows the timetable as laid out at this point. That would mean it could be confirmed before the election itself. So now we have the campaign. Let's look at the campaign. According to, again, a piece, this one written by The Hill, there's concern in the White House and among the strategists for the Trump campaign. They wanted him on the road most of this week. They thought they needed to get him out there. They had this Operation MAGA they were going to start pushing. Well, now they're going to have the vice president, other members of the first family, not the first lady, obviously, since she's also been diagnosed with COVID, and a bunch of surrogates and others in front of voters at virtual and in-person events. That's the effort they're going to do. Even if the president's released this afternoon, it's not clear whether he'll be healthy enough for campaign, virtually much less being at personal events. There apparently still seems to be some questions about, is he getting supplemental oxygen? And we're not getting full details, and to that extent, you got the mainstream media saying, we're not being told everything. I think that's probably right. We're not being told everything. And it may be through the filter of the Trump campaign of what we are getting. Of course, as far as the campaign strategist, the best thing is to have Trump front and center. That's what they want to do. And not by virtual, they want him in the midst of the crowd. One of them stating, it projects a winning atmosphere, a winning vibe people want to be associated with. It's good for him and his own barometer of how people are responding. We have an attending physician at Walter Reed that The Hill ran down and asked him, what do you think? And he said, and again, this is apparently one who has not had any direct contact with Trump, doesn't know his records, has not looked at the documents, doesn't appear to, doesn't indicate he had, but he's just questioned about it as an attending physician. And he said Trump was, quote, endangering the lives of others and the stunt was insanity for the sake of political theater. That was referenced Trump doing that motorcade around the hospital. How is that? You can call it political theater if you want. Almost everything now is political theater. He wanted to go around the people that gathered for prayer and vigil for him outside Walter Reed, and he stayed inside the SUV, did not get out and approach anyone, and that was, quote, insanity. And unless he's trying to say he should have stayed inside in a prone position on oxygen, but that's not what he's saying, and in fact, apparently I doubt he knows. But in the midst of this, Joe Biden, they're pushing him out the door. Joe, run. Run now. Run hard. Run fast. We got to get you out there. So Biden is expected to visit Miami's Little Havana and Little Haiti ahead of a televised haul that's coming up later this evening. That's going to be his return to that critical swing state of Florida. President Trump was supposed to be in Sanford, Florida last Friday. Obviously had to postpone. So today marks Biden's second trip to Florida after canceling scheduled visits in March ahead of that state's primary because of the coronavirus pandemic. Finally, on September the 15th, Biden did go into Tampa and Kissimmee. But now they're looking at, we got to get out there, we got to do it now. So later today, let me see, it's supposedly about 1:45 Central Time. Joe Biden and wife Dr. Jill Biden will visit the Little Haiti Cultural Center. And then later he will speak in Little Havana later in the afternoon about bringing back the economy better for the Hispanic community and working families. He can say all he wants, by the way. He can say all he wants, but I will take you back to something Trump said in that first debate. I've done more in 47 months than Joe Biden did in 47 years in the Senate and then in the White House. But suddenly Joe has an answer for everything. Yeah, you're going to talk about bringing jobs to Hispanic communities, the black communities. They got ads out in South Florida in English, Spanish, Creole, which is spoken to some of the Haitian Americans. Now, there's a poll by Siena College Research showing Biden leading Trump in Florida, 47 to 42%. That's a big, big jump, 5%. The Florida International University Cuba poll measuring Cuban-American public opinion shows Trump leading Biden 59% to 25%. In other words, there's no contest when it comes to the Cuban people. Could it be because they hear Biden and the left-wing activists talking about socialism, communism, and going back to Cuba, basically what these people, many of them left, those who actually fled and started their families here, and even those who are Cubans right now, I mean, were born here, they know the history. They sit and they listen to their family. That's a big difference. Now, again, you make the polls what you want at this point. The only one that's really going to count is at the voting poll. Many Americans have already voted. I have you? Make sure you vote. Make sure you vote. We'll take a break when we come back. Let me share an opinion of one Trump poster. It says Dems are trying to steal the election.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so let me pick up on where I left you as we went into that break. There is a Trump pollster, McLaughlin, John McLaughlin, again, who does polling for the Trump campaign, predicting there will be attempts at election fraud in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and New Jersey. Now, I want to stress to you, he offers no facts, but he's emphasizing how there have been attempts at ballot harvesting or getting rid of signature identification in those states amid the push for mail-in voting. And he also advised mail-in voting should be called fraud. He stated, when you want to know what the polls are saying, figure out what the Democrats are doing in that state. In North Carolina, in Pennsylvania, the Democrats trying to get rid of the signature verification. In Nevada, which we, talking about the Trump campaign, did not win last time, the polls are very close there this time, in Nevada. Now they want to allow ballot harvesting, where campaign workers can go out, collect the ballots. You have no idea where it's coming from. They're live ballots. They collect them. They file them. And he also pointed out in New Jersey, he said it's been proven recent cases of fraud there. North Carolina the same. People supposed to be filling out those ballots did not fill them out. Campaign workers went and got them, and they filled them in. He said, my gut feeling is the president is going to win again. He said, 4 years ago, they were afraid we were going to win on election night. They tried to hold out on calling the election because they knew we had won. This time, they're afraid we're going to win again, and they're trying to steal the election before the actual election itself. Again, that's an opinion of someone who's in the Trump camp. He does not offer any specifics other than what I just stated for you. But yeah, when you do look at some states, they don't even want to try to verify a signature. Let me give you an example of what happened recently. We have a Florida man who got arrested. And he says, well, I was just trying to test the system, see if it worked. His mother's been dead, I don't have it in front of me, I think 4+ years. A voter application, I'm not sure exactly how he got it. I don't know if he went to get it, saying I'm taking it to mama, I don't know. But anyway, he filled it out. Obviously not for Trump, signed his mom's signature, the one who's been dead for 2+ years, and sent it in. Well, somebody was sharp enough to look at, well, this is a mail-in, let's check it with the signature we have on file, and actually, I take it back, they checked against the names because they're trying to update their system all the time, and they realized this woman's deceased. She can't be voted. So then they looked at the signature and saw, compared to previous signatures they had on her, it was not the same. So they went out and arrested the guy. He's facing a felony for sending in a fraudulent vote. His answer is, hey, I was just trying to test it. I wasn't trying to do anything wrong. I was just testing it. He wanted to be, you know, I guess maybe make me an investigative reporter. I'm out here just testing it. Well, he found out it works. The test proved the system worked. But he had a quick answer. I love it. He said, I was just testing it. I wasn't going to do anything. I would have let them know it was a bad ballot. Right. But again, here's another poll. And again, I'm telling you, you look at these polls any way you want. But keep in mind what really counts. There's a poll that got released just yesterday. The Sunday Express Democracy Institute poll. 46% of likely voters across the nation support Trump. 46%. 45% Biden. 1% difference. It also shows you that with those numbers, there's 8+% undecided at this point. Uncommitted, undecided, however you want to declare them. Could be Trump voters who just didn't want to say. Could be Biden supporters, the same thing, didn't want to say, or maybe they just really don't know. But we're now 4 weeks, 2 days until the November 3rd election, as of Sunday, so, you know, it looks good to that extent. Now, the real clear average of polls, the real clear politics average, does not include that poll I just read you. And according to an average, the real clear politics average across the nation, it's not a 1-point lead for Trump. It is a 7.6 lead for Biden. A Zogby poll released over the weekend shows Biden with a 2-point lead. It's within the poll's margin of error. So there are a lot of questions about these issues. And, of course, we have another debate maybe coming up, maybe not, depending on how Trump is going to be able to do it and how it will be done. a presidential debate October the 15th. Don't forget that Wednesday we have the vice presidential debate, and it might really generate a lot of interest. Normally they don't, but with Kamala Harris and Vice President Pence, it may well generate a lot more interest than normal. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to look closer at that Ratcliffe letter, the statement that Hillary, Obama, and many knew what was going on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.